This is the very first one that I honestly...
Okay, call to order the House Committee on Education for Monday, May 11th, 2015. Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome, hopefully you all had a good weekend, a good Mother's Day. We're going to open up the, today with an informational meeting on Senate Bill 215 Work Group, which is the OEIB. So I would like to gavel us into an informational meeting and invite up Senator Roblin.
I'm going to leave my brains behind me, so if I ever look back, you know.
Well, would you like, would you, okay, thank you.
Two microphones, this is exciting.
I know. You're a senator now.
Thank you. So, for the record, my name is Arnie Roblin, and I am senator from Senate District 5, which is most of the Oregon coast, actually from Coos Bay to Tillamook Bay and into Falls City and Sheridan in the valley. So, when I came this session, I found out that I was going to be the chair of education, which was a little bit of a surprise. And one of the bills that we were going to consider was the continuation of the OEIB. It had a sunset that starts next year, basically, and we decided to take it up this year to start having a conversation. At the beginning of that conversation, it became clear to me that there were a lot of people who had different opinions about where we should go with the OEIB and what it has done to this point and so on. And so after having a hearing in the House, in the Senate, we engaged with the education community and said anyone who would like to be a part of a little work group to work on this bill was encouraged to come to weekly meetings and have a real conversation about what we were trying to do and where we were going in education. You should have in front of you, hopefully, a little one-pager. You will also find that one-pager is also on OLIS, and you'll also see that there's a notebook of materials that was presented at the beginning that's also on OLIS that was given to us by Nancy Golden in preparation for this work group. There are about 20-some individual organizations that are represented, and they're listed at the bottom of the page. And there are other people who have come and gone as needed, and different representatives and senators who have come and been a part of this. Consistently, Representative Doherty, myself, and Senator Cruz have been at all of them, but we've had other people come from time to time when their schedules would allow it, including Representative Hack, who has been to a few of those meetings. As I hope everybody understands, how Senate Bill 909, which really began this whole process, was put in place to coordinate a seamless education program from preschool through college, so that we would have this opportunity to bring people together. They made the OEIB board appointed by the governor. They made the chief executive officer in the bill, and then it intermixed itself into a lot of other statutes, with the understanding that if we don't renew it in 2016, all of those statutes would be removed and we'd go back to the system we were having. Having been in education a long time, for me, it became clear that just doing away with it was not a good answer. Since 1976, we have put together as a legislature and the governor's office a new group about every 4 years to solve this problem. They have not been successful at getting that problem solved, and so just stopping it and starting something new 4 years from now did not seem to be an appropriate response from my perspective. So we brought all these people together. We started having meetings. We talked about the issues that came up, and in this you'll see an outline of our work group process, what we've been trying to do. And the reason I'm having this meeting here, I'm not sure by the time it's all done if it'll have a cost or not. May end up going to Ways and Means, may end up coming to this committee. I just felt that it was really great, and Representative Doherty asked me to come and give a kind of an explanation of what I've been trying to do. The other thing that was apparent to me is that as a person who's been in public education for a long time, we are a loosely coupled organization, K-12 education. We have 190-some boards. We've got a Department of Ed. We've got a lot of organizations that intermix. And for one at the top to say, here's what you're going to do, and expect everybody else to do it, is kind of my definition of crazy. We've got lots of people who feel very strongly about this, and I will tell you this is not a partisan issue. This is an issue about how do we help every one of the children in our state get the best education they can possibly have. And so that was where the committee started talking about those things. We held the public hearing. We solicited work group participation, and that's still ongoing. I've told people, if you're really interested, we can just find more chairs. We kind of ran out a couple days, but we could use some more. We established this work group. We've had weekly meetings. We collected and review feedback from the current model. We've identified and compiled, disseminate key information. You've got most of that, I think, now with you or on OLIS. Review legislative options and select a path forward. We collect and compile amend suggestions. We submit the amendment request to the Legislative Council. We've reviewed that amendments and provided feedback. So we actually get the amendments, we put them out there, and we go back and look at the whole thing to see if we all agree. And we hope to move a bill from the Senate Committee of Rules to the Senate Committee here, or to a House Committee here. Getting the amendments so that all of these organizations agree that that's what we've agreed to has been, well, as you know, when you look at a bill that's 30-some pages long, it's not always the same. And this is going to be one of those strange bills that when you read it, you have to read it twice because it's putting in amendments and doing some other kinds of things that only we in the legislature seem to do. But getting all those things right is really important. And so we have a meeting tomorrow night, which will kind of, we hope, be the final one because we've done the last amendments. There may be a tweak or two. We'll have a conversation about that as well. And when we get that, my goal is to take it to the Senate Rules Committee, where we had sent it to, wait our approval of all of this, and with a group of people who were in that committee, start the process of getting it moved from one chamber to the next. The next thing on my little worksheet is all the numbers of the people who have, and organizations that have been involved. And sometimes an organization may have one or two people, but these are all of the official organizations that have been a part of this little work group. What we plan on doing, I would hope that our bill makes it through both sides and gets signed by the governor. The governor has been a good partner in that. And then continue the work group through the interim to come up with any further suggestions. Our goal to begin with was to set a tone of where we're going. It wasn't to have the final answer for everything because we don't think there is a final answer. One of the issues exactly that came up very early in our recommendations, one of the things that came early was that we're not sure that the board was as representative as it could be of a lot of the different stakeholders. And what we heard from different groups was you'd have the state board doing some things, you'd have the other board doing some other things, you'd have the HEC doing some other things, and pretty soon everybody was doing things, but was it all being done coordinated in a coordinated fashion? So what we have asked, and the governor has suggested and then said she would do, we'll have an advisory board for the next year. She will do that by executive order. We've asked that if we're really trying to use this as a framework to make this seamless deal, that two of the members of this new board would be from the state board, two of the members would be from the HEC board, one of them would be from the early childhood board, and one would be from the youth advisory board. And then if the governor wants to put a few more people on to represent other constituencies, that would be fine, because what we want to see is what kind of framework really would work for an advisory board. And the governor has been kind enough to say that she would be willing to put that in place for us with no expectation that it would last and no expectation that it wouldn't last. So that would be part of the next ongoing work group. We looked at the pros and cons of the board, one of the pros was high level of oversight that takes a comprehensive look at the P20 system as a whole. We think that might be something that an advisory group could do just as well. Cons, unrepresentative of educational stakeholders, disconnected from the practical processes. So did they have enough information to know when they passed something how that was going to ramble through the whole system, and how do we work on something that does that? So what we did is in this bill is we dissolved that current board upon passage and established an interim advisory committee through executive order. When it comes to the agency itself, in our bill, we extend the sunset for the agency itself for 6 years. It allows us to get some work done in the future, and it keeps in place some things that we thought were important. The pros that came out in our conversations had to do with a focus on equity that hadn't been in education, and a lot of different groups that were in our representative mentioned that that was probably as important a thing as that had been done with respect to the OEIB. It also has a research and interagency facilitation that were seen by many to be a very important things around certain issues and identifying some things. The cons, it's cost, it's hierarchy, it's duplicative, insufficient limits on authority and responsibilities were the issues that came up. What we've done is extended the agency until June 30th, 2019, or if the legislature decides to do earlier, they could do it longer or less. We've shifted the agency role from direction and control to facilitation and collaboration. The goal is in those places where we are trying to make the seamless system, i.e. from early childhood to K-12, that portion. When you look at community colleges to high school to universities. Those are the places that we have had since 1976, new groups put up to figure out the problems for the last, 40, 50 years. And we're wanting to focus in on those areas. That's what we would hope that this new office would do. The other thing that we did, you and your chair had already done part of this, and that is that we saw the sunset coming for the initiatives,
achievement compacts.
A lot of our people at our meeting said, if that's going to happen, could you put it in this bill so upon enactment it happens then, so that people out in the field know that they don't have to be preparing to do all of that right now at this particular moment? Because if it stayed until it sunset, most of the board actions and other stuff would already have been done. They said the goals and targets are important, so could we continue to maybe have the targets but not have the achievement compacts, because every K through 12 school already sends all that information in different forms, so why duplicate that process? And so you'll see in some other bills that are following this bill that it does continue the targets that were important. The name change is also to reflect the shift in focus, not from an investment board, but for the chief executive officer, basically the organization. One other thing that came up towards the end of the session because of bills that had come from the House and other conversations that we had was that we believe that if it's going to be the group that's trying to connect all these groups together, that we should include TSPC. Because the connection between TSPC and K-12, TSPC and higher ed, they were one of those organizations. And so in the hierarchy or in the placement of it, we decided the chief executive officer should have some collaboration in other places with TSPC. One of the conversations that have come up is how do we, as we get new education focus at community colleges or at elementary and secondary schools, how do we get influence to TSPC to have new licenses or other kinds of things, and how do we go about doing that process? So we thought if we brought that into the group, that would be important. That was one that went over fairly quickly as being a positive with respect to this. So the next thing we did was start deciding what are some of the future decisions we have to make. If we make this deal, we kind of highlight where we think that the most important time is to be spent on the from the agency's perspective. What are the things that we need to do with regard to that? And I guess one of the other things I didn't mention is that the other thing that came up that was a positive is this longitudinal database and the figuring out how to make sure we keep that going ahead so that we can actually figure out how the different groups work together and to make sure that the collaboration between the other groups, the state board and others and their agencies, we have some time to think about how all of that works together to give us the information we at the legislature need and the education system needs to get better over time. So what are we going to be doing? We're going to continue the work group. We invite other people to join if they want and are willing to put in the time and be there on a regular basis. The topics that we will address, but not limited to, ongoing assessment and evaluation of the office and the role of the chief executive officer, relationship and hierarchy between the chief education officer, other agencies, rulemaking and other authority necessary for the office and the chief executive officer. They do have rulemaking authority in our bill to work with those things that they're directly responsible for, i.e., the RACs and some of the other kinds of issues that stem in those projects that are really under their auspices. So they will continue to have that rulemaking, but we're going to look at other kinds of things and where we think that needs to be. The duties of the office and the role of the chief executive officer, including as they relate to the budget process, another issue that came up, how do we develop budgets in this all these agencies, and how do we go about doing that? The longitudinal database and other research dissemination, equity in education and its continued presence to make sure that we continue to give all kids the opportunities they need, legislative barriers to seamless transition in the P20 system, and a broader analysis of the current educational governance and goals in Oregon. So there's three other pieces of related legislation that's moving through. Two of these are in rules. One's on their way here if it isn't already here. With proposed amendments, Senate Bill 214 establishes the age 3 through grade 3 reading initiative, which includes a grant program to establish and support a coordinated system that ensures that all students can read by third grade. And Senate Bill 216 that makes modifications to the network of quality teaching and learning. The changes include adding education service districts and state tribes to the list of entities that receive receive funding from the Oregon Department of Education. And that one, I believe, is already on its way here, if it hasn't already gotten here. It is here? Yeah. Okay. So you should have that. We made those amendments ahead of time. The issue that there will be a conforming amendment at the end if all this passes, because everywhere you see OEIB, it needs to come out. These all need to comply with this new Office of the Chief Executive Officer. And 217, currently undergoing amendments, addresses three strategic investments, basically changes them from strategic investments to targets. And they are Oregon Early Reading Program, the Guidance and Support of Post-Secondary Aspirations Program, and the Connecting to the World of Work Program. Currently administrators all these programs with OEIB, and we're trying to make that consistent with the bill that we have for the other one. So with that, I would be glad to answer any questions that you might have. And again, invite any one of you, as long as a majority of your board doesn't come. We've had that conversation in the Senate so that we don't have to worry about a quorum issue. You're always welcome. And our information, we've posted most of it, if not all, on the OLIS. So we want to continue this to be a process that people engage in because they want to make education better for people. We're not asking for per diem or any of those kinds of things for the ongoing workshop. We just want to make sure that we continue to get people, because if everybody in the system is pulling the same direction, trying to help kids become the most that they can possibly be, our system works better. And that's the way I found it when I was in education. And I think this process has shown that the same thing can be true here. I think we have consensus with all the groups that are in this with where we're going and how we're moving forward, and we wanted to make sure that you guys had opportunity to ask or be a part of any of that.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of Senator Roblin?
Thank you.
Representative Barreto.
Madam Chair, on this work group, is it just legislators, or have you got people from education?
If you look at the one page.
I haven't seen
you haven't got one.
This from here.
At the bottom of it, the list is fairly comprehensive. It's the Back Parent Initiative, the Chalkboard Project, the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde, Confederation of Oregon School Administrators, the Coquille Indian Tribe, the Early Learning Division, Governor's Office, Higher Education Coordinating Commission, Interinstitutional Faculty Senate, Kairos PDX, Legislative Fiscal Office, Oregon Advisory Commission, Oregon Association of Education Service Districts, Oregon Community College Association, Oregon Department of Education, Oregon Education Association, Oregon Education Investment Board, Oregon Parent Teacher Association, Oregon Save Our Schools, Oregon School Board Association, Oregon School Employees Association, Oregon Student Association, Park Rose School District, Portland State University, Stand for Children, and Technical and Regional Universities.
Thank you. Can you follow up? So in some of these, I guess I don't see superintendents. Are superintendents from all over Oregon part of these groups,
too? The COSA, the Confederation of School Administrators, represents them. We've also got one superintendent from Park Grove School District that is there on a regular basis. I talk to a lot of superintendents as well, but they are represented.
Thank you.
I think they're important.
But one more follow-up. Yeah, you know, I'm new to this, new to education, and just a freshman this year. But in speaking with most of the superintendents over in Eastern Oregon, you know, none of them were excited about keeping the OEIB. And so I know you already know this. And so when, and matter of fact, their statement for most of them is, let it die, let it go away, we don't need it. And so I think. For you to say, no, let's get our heads together and kind of refigure this, because really it was supposed to be the coordinating thing, and the problem is it wasn't coordinating even the groups that were involved. So I think reevaluating is a good thing. So
I just don't like – I've been in a lot of initiatives that we've done in this education realm for the last 40 years, and we don't like one way, so we just get rid of it and restart it a couple years later. That has never seemed an efficient way to do the kind of business that everybody cares about. So that's really why this got going.
Hey, Representative Hack.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say thank you for taking the charge and leading this and making it a priority. Somebody had to step up and do that work. So I just wanted to say thank you for doing that. Really appreciate it.
And thank you for coming.
Thank you for the invitation.
Senator Roebling has done a wonderful job and his staff of coordinating and keeping all of these groups together and kind of on track. It's been very good. Any other questions? Representative McLean, then Representative Reardon.
Well, first of all, I do like the approach that you're taking, and it was already Representative Barreto already mentioned that, but just the idea that, you know, let's don't make the structural over again. Let's just try to make the coordination or try to make the integration of some of these services really work. I just met with my school board chair, one of my school board chairs, and also some other school personnel this weekend. And one of the things that they said that I think makes a difference in what your work group is going to be going forward and working on, and that is that we need foundations for them. We need support for them. But we also need to make sure that whatever support or whatever resources we have get enough down to the actual school board level and to the schools and school district level that they can actually try to carry out and get best practices for some of these goals that we have and these targets that we have for them. And they reminded me again that with the new structure and with the way funding's gone in the last 3 to 5 years, there's a lot of siloing of money. That we're going to give it to the 32 lowest school districts that need the most support in this area, where you may have a school district that is actually functioning well, but they have a large part of like the ELL type of I would say challenges and areas to continue to improve in. And so I think that as we work through this, that we remember that it's supposed to be targets, it's supposed to be goals, it's supposed to be support, but it's not supposed to be repetitive. And make sure that we're dealing with all school districts and all schools in a fair way. And one of the things that they mentioned, and that was on grant programs, that it takes time, money, energy, and effort to write up a grant. And so there are a lot of schools that, you know, can't always take the time to get their fair share of the pie because it's through a grant program versus actually just, again, having the money come down to the district where they can meet your targets, figure out what's the best way to do the goals at that level versus having to write up the proposal, you know, first and or, you know, not relate it to as much as what the state is looking for, as much as what they need to make sure that they can deal with their population and their students. So that was a ramble.
Right, but I do want to address that because there's another bill that Senator Canope and I went through our House committee, and we sent it down to Ways and Means because it had a little price cap of about $150 million or something. It was one of those small ones asks. But it basically was to start up the old program that we used to have about giving money to school districts to do particular things, innovation grants, right? And our hope with this bill is that when we have money left over at the end of this thing and we have a bunch of goals out front, we should be able to say, here are the targets for early reading, high school readiness, whatever the ones that are, but we've got a bunch of them. And we say to the school districts, we're going to divide all this money up in this fund. exactly by your ADMW. So you're going to get your share. All you have to tell is which one of these targets is most important for your school to work on, because we don't have enough money to do all of them. There's just no way to do that. But which target do you want to pick on?
I like that.
And then once you pick the target, you tell us what your target is and what your goals are, and then at the end of it, send in what you did. Show us that if you were successful or not. So we get the best of all those worlds. We get people being able to have an amount of money that could actually do something in a particular area instead of spreading it out. And it doesn't have to be competitive, which is really difficult for a lot of our small schools and a lot of our rural schools. They don't have the grant writers and the other people available. So we're trying to figure out, are there ways in which we can help make that kind of thing more possible in the future? And I know when we talked about it, the Ways and Means people were co-chairs were happy to have it. They didn't know if there were going to be any money to put in it, but the idea of having it available was one tool that might be useful later on. Because I agree with you, and it's very difficult.
Okay, thank you. Representative Rudin.
Thank you for doing all this. It's just really amazing and impressive, as always. But I guess just an observation slash reminder from Dave as a teacher is, please, whatever whirling, swirling, reorganization goes on, that we do keep those classroom teachers in mind, and that those teachers, those kids, are the ones that make a difference. And I just remember, no matter what was going on up here, it seemed like, as a teacher, I never really kind of knew how it affected me, or frequently didn't.
Right.
So I hope there's some way that we can communicate with those teachers. And I would throw out an idea. This morning I stopped by David Douglas, which is always gets me kind of fired up, and they have been identified to work with the U.S. Department of Education, and it's the concept is, how do you help teachers become leaders while staying in a classroom and continuing to be that excellent teacher? So somehow I'm hoping that we can really, you know, build on the strengths of some of those fantastic teachers that we do have. And let's not forget that as we do this stuff.
So it seems two kind of things removed. Quickly to that. I believe that high administrators need a lot of leadership training as well, and that I am thankful that COSA and others provided me with opportunities to get some leadership skills and to hone some things to come back to my teachers and help them do their job. As I told people, when we used to have our faculty meetings at my school, whenever we had a time to do that, our administrative staff cooked breakfast and served everybody, because the reality in our school was we were there as servants. They were the ones that were producing the work. And if we didn't listen to them and help give them the tools they needed to be the most successful in the classroom, we weren't doing our job. And I think the thing that's got me in trouble more here and got me more trouble in my district was that, for the bottom line for me, I got in this business for kids. And whatever it takes to make the best opportunity for kids is what I was going to do. And if it meant being in federal court on one side against my superintendent on the other side, I would be there to do that. And we did that a couple times. And when it came here as a member of this legislature and I had to do things, it was the same thing. I had to do what I felt was the right thing to do at the time, which would help kids in the end, because that's what we should all – that's what the whole system should be about. And almost all of us want that. It's just that everybody has a different way of how to get there. And if we can get people pulling the wagon the same direction, I think we have a better chance. And that's why this became an important part for me this session.
Okay,
so I thank you for that. It's always great to go back to schools and see kids. It's always good to see your old students and see that they're being successful and all those kinds of things, too.
Okay, any other questions? Representative Frederick.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, thank you for all of this work. I have I wanted to at least respond to Representative Barreto. You should know that the chorus is not just Eastern Oregon. There are lots of superintendents over here saying exactly the
yes.
same thing. So it's quite a few.
I understand that.
I'm hearing from them as well.
Yes.
You spoke a little bit about the idea of basically having a pool that you could choose from. Of priorities. One of the concerns that I keep hearing is how much money was being spent, either by OEIB or directed by OEIB. We speak to a little bit of that in terms of the report, or in terms of your report, but can you tell me a little bit more
You know, this particular legislation isn't really going to change much of that, because most of the money that goes through them is going to STEM, the teachers, the network of communication, all of that kind of stuff. It's transfer money goes through to those other programs that have already been developed and we've said are things that we want to spend money on as a legislature. We give them the money so they can funnel it that way. There's about $6 million, I think, that's the agency itself, and a lot of that goes into the personnel that are doing things like the database and some other things. I think we need to always look to see where we can get any dollar that we can spend better in a classroom, and figuring out how to do that is really important. And so that's why I think there you see a sunset on here. We need to see if they are going to be effective in making the system more seamless and therefore actually getting more money to the individual kids and having them be successful, so we can have a conversation about that in a few years. But this bill won't really affect the resources that are in it right now. And we have to look at the duplicative things, mm-hmm. because that's one of the things we have to look at. You know, should we have multiple agencies doing database kinds of things? Right now, I think until we get the ability for each of these groups to talk to each other in a seamless way, we need the information that the universities have. We need the information that the community colleges have. We need the information that are, and they all need to be in a system at some point if we're really going to do this longitudinal database. You know, I've been in a database since I graduated in high school, actually the year before, it's 1965. And they send me a survey every 2 or 3 years from, it's changed from different university to different university, but they have this big ongoing deal that happened in 1965. That's really been interesting. They send you reports back about how you as a group are doing across the country. It's informative, and it's a really kind of neat thing. There aren't that many longitudinal databases that have actually been going long enough to really give you some information that could be helpful.
Well, you and I have had the conversation about longitudinal databases. I have some some significant concerns about them.
Yeah, we do.
But I'm also concerned because, as you said, the duplicative aspect. I've been dealing with education issues long enough that it appears to me that many of the things that we're asking the OEIB to do, frankly, the Department of Education was doing, and had been taken out because of political reasons or because of just emphasis. The ODE had become a compliance agency rather than getting new ideas in there. Is that part of the discussion on how we move forward? Yes.
Yeah, I think it is. I think Rob Saxon has done a really good job of bringing back. I talked to him at the beginning of the session because when I came here as an educator a number of years ago, if you had a math question, they said, "How as a new math teacher, how do I get information?" They said, "Call the State Department. They have some of the best math people in the state."
Right.
So I called them. I mean, it was really helpful. Over the last number of years of my career. That's not who you called if you had information, because you call them and then they come and check on you or something. I mean, it was a totally different feeling about the department. That is coming back. I mean, they are getting good, really hardworking people in there that are doing some of that same kind of stuff. We need to encourage that to continue. We need to figure out how to make their jobs more efficient. There are parts of this that I think is narrowing that down. I think the OEIB got involved in things that, from my perspective, really are the departments. They may have been there to help them, but we need to stop the duplication. We need to figure out what the rules and where they're supposed to be helping at, and then figure out how to use this information correctly. So I hope that over the next couple of years we can get that honed in a little bit better.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Hey, thank you, Senator. You've been doing
a great
job. So
anytime anybody needs to know anything, you can pass Gretchen because she knows everything.
Yes. So thank you very much. Okay, that was the only person we had on the agenda for the OEIB. Anybody else? Okay, if not, we'll close the informational hearing on Senate Bill 215, a work group, and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 790A. Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 790A requires the Department of Justice to encourage and support services, programs, and curricula to educate and inform students in grades 7 to 12 about domestic violence, to provide assistance to victims of domestic violence, and to prevent and reduce the incidence of domestic violence. It does a number of other things, but I'm sure the Senator can do that better than I can.
Okay, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Doherty, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bill Hansel, State Senator from District 29 in Eastern Oregon. Senate Bill 790 comes to this committee from a meeting I had with many advocates last September. This is one of three domestic violence bills I have sponsored this session. According to the statistics from the FBI in 2012, there were 11,766 women killed by their husbands or boyfriends. Although domestic violence is not a single gender issue, it predominantly occurs with women being the victims. This bill, 790, is an attempt to bring this number down by educating young people on the subject early on. Currently, in grades 7 through 12, there is a required education on teen dating violence. Teen dating violence is where a pattern of behavior in which a person uses or threatens to use physical, mental, sexual violence, or emotional abuse to control another person who is in a dating relationship with the person where one or both persons are 13 to 19 years old. I believe we have a need and opportunity to educate students in the importance of domestic violence. The thought behind this bill is, if a student is being taught in school about the dangers and problems of teen dating violence, but then they go home and experience domestic violence, they should learn why this also is unacceptable. This bill would require school districts to adopt policies to incorporate age-appropriate education regarding domestic violence with the classroom at some point in grades 7 through 12, just like they do with teen dating violence. Another aspect of this bill is to authorize the Department of Human Service to make grants to and enter into contracts with nonprofit organizations or public agencies for programs and projects designed to prevent, identify, and treat domestic violence. This is also currently being done for teen dating violence and would simply expand this to include domestic violence. Finally, the bill states that the schools will need to post a flyer in an easily seen area of the school where phone numbers to call if one has experienced domestic violence or think they are experiencing domestic violence. I believe with the education of students about domestic violence, we'll be able to help reduce it. Schools currently teach teen dating violence, and adding domestic violence makes sense to me. Senate Bill 790 passed out of the Senate unanimously. Thank you very much, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Any questions of the Senator? Okay, excellent bill. Long overdue, because I worked on the teen dating violence and came up with good things, and that you're right, this is just an extension of what the current curriculum is. So I appreciate you bringing it forward to us.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, is there anybody else that would like to speak on Senate Bill 780 or 790A? Okay, seeing none, I close the public hearing on 790A and open up a public hearing on 856, Senate Bill 856.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 856 requires each school district to adopt child sexual abuse prevention instructional programs for students in kindergarten to grade 12. It stipulates what the program must include and declares an emergency effective on passage. And we are waiting for Senator Knope to run down to talk to us about it.
So we'll stand at ease for a few moments. Okay, now we're back on record. So I would like to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 856. We already heard about it, so Senator Knope.
Thank you, Chair Doherty and Vice Chair Springer and members of the committee. I'm Senator Tim Knope from Senate District 27, which includes Bend, Redmond, Tumalo, and Sun River. And I want to thank you for having a hearing on Senate Bill 856. This bill comes from Erin Marin. She's from Illinois. And when she was young, she was a victim of child abuse. And she was able to overcome that and has turned victimization into advocacy, and has gone across the country and has essentially advocated for having laws on the books in each of the states. And I think there's 21 or 22 states that have passed Aaron's law so far. And essentially, it just says that it's state law that each school district should have a child abuse prevention instruction that's age appropriate. And we, in doing the research for this bill, we found that Oregon was actually a little bit ahead of the game in many respects. And so a lot of what this law will do is codify what's in rule today. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some people have asked, well, what's the necessity of the bill? And I would simply say that it gives the legislature an opportunity to put on the record and to once again publicize that, obviously, that we want to make sure that the scourge of child abuse is dealt with. But that I think for kids who are in a situation where they're being abused, just the fact that it's out in the public and that they know that they can contact an adult and, you know, that they don't have to live with it and they don't have to keep the secret, as it were, I think is a benefit. And so really what we're doing is building on the good work that was done back, I think, probably 07, 09, with Senator Vicky Walker and others who started us down the path of educators being trained to notice the signs of child abuse and to be able to deal with that, and then obviously becoming mandatory reporters and so on. And so we decided in the Senate, you know, we made a conscious decision that even though we have much of it in rule, that we wanted to make a strong bipartisan statement that, you know, it's our belief that it's really important that the legislature go on record and that we put this into law, just as opposed to being in rule. And I think there's been a lot of good work done. One of the things that I couldn't determine during the research on this is if every school and school district actually does it and follows through. Mm-hmm. And we know the bigger ones do. I checked with mine, and they do. And a lot of them had, you know, do this when they, you know, when they have their, you know, their human sexuality courses and things like that, that they have instruction for. They also deal with child abuse. And I think you guys heard a great bill earlier that would also educate on issues of violence. And so this, I think this bill does something to advance the effort to try to reduce child abuse in our society today, and that's why I decided to bring it forward, and would hope that you guys would have the same reaction that we did, which is that anything we can do to help save a child from an abusive situation, that we should do. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions of the senator? Representative Frederick.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I thank you for bringing this forward. I am I'm curious about whether you had any discussion about child development specialists and whether they had the research that was done on how they approached this and how they affected this in the past before they were eliminated from mm-hmm. most of the schools.
We didn't specifically, but you know, the I think the main discussion centered around the fact that we wanted to make sure that whatever is done is, you know, developmentally and age appropriate, and obviously there aren't as many people for kids to connect with in schools as there used to be. And so, you know, to develop a trusting relationship with somebody where they can go to them and talk to them about this. And so, you know, I think that's another reason we said, you know, let's just move forward and, you know, try to basically put this out there, publicize it a bit, and, you know, hopefully kids will be able to come forward and talk to, you know, a school nurse if they have one, or a teacher or principal at school.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? For those of you that know, that we used to have in every elementary school, I believe in every middle school, child development specialists that were trained social workers, trained counselors, and they were really the glue between the schools and children that were facing trouble or beginning to trouble and the parent. It was a phenomenal program, tremendous results, and we lost funding for it. So. You know, we kind of keep talking about bringing them back, but again, it's adding something in every school, which is very, very valuable. Okay, so anyway, thank you very much. Great legislation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this issue?
Theme days.
Okay, that's it. With that, I close work session or the public hearing on Senate Bill 856. And that is anything else for the good of the order? Okay, we are adjourned. We're adjourned.